Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
Today we are continuing our series, Suit Up. Our series on Ephesians 6 on spiritual warfare and the whole armor of God. If you'll pull me up just a little bit, Jacob, that way I can not have to hold it up so close with my frog this morning. So we've been looking, the first Sunday we looked at Ephesians 6 and we saw, who are we? And we saw that Paul was teaching the Ephesians that who they are in Christ should then determine how they live in Christ. We looked at it, we said that yes, we are in a spiritual battle. It is not one against each other, it is against one of spiritual forces. That our enemy lies to us in two main ways, accusations and temptations. And we said Paul is reminding the Ephesians about things they would be familiar with. A Roman soldier would have been familiar sight to them. And they would have been familiar that the belt held everything in place, that it was the belt of truth, and that our truth is that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Then last week, we looked at the breastplate of righteousness, and that it's Christ's righteousness that actually protects our hearts, that we don't have a righteousness of our own. Paul said that all he had, he counted as rubbish, as loss, to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ. So today we're going to look at, it's kind of interesting. Paul doesn't even specifically, in some translations, say anything about sandals. He just says, cover your feet. So the assumption is he's talking about shoes. Although if you're a child, you can cover your feet with lots of things, if you've ever seen a child try to get dressed. But so today we're going to be looking at the gospel of peace. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and that is on page 955 in one of the Emmanuel Bibles. I'll give you just a second to get there. And remember, last week we were in Philippians as well, and Paul is writing this, and he's most likely under house arrest. He's given up all that he had, and he's still able to say these words in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So what role would goofy-looking shoes like this play? Well, it wasn't 2018 when this was written. So the first thing is, believe it or not, and these aren't exact replicas, but this is what you get online for $4.95. Okay? But they would provide protection. Really, what it wouldn't be just a piece of leather or anything slick on the bottom. The leather would have had spikes coming through it so you could dig into the ground, much like we would consider an athletic cleat. And so they could protect their feet. It would come up their legs to keep it from moving and sliding around. They would also wear a shin guard. My shin guards didn't fit. So use your imagination. But it would help with protection. It would help with mobility. Because of those spikes, they could dig in. It's even said that Alexander the Great was so powerful because the enemy would expect it to take him 4 months to get there, but he could get his army there in 2.5. And that's why they were able to surprise so many people. Because of these shoes, they were able to move and protect their feet, and they were able to mobilize themselves with those spikes. The other thing, the thing that we're going to look at the most, is because of those spikes, because of those shoes, when it came time to battle, they could dig in and stand their ground. It would help them with stability. And if you've ever traveled or hiked or walked or ran or jogged or played any kind of sport, stability is an important thing. Verse 15 is kind of tricky depending on which translation you read from today. In our translation, the NRSV that we have here in the Pew Bibles, it says, as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. And because of the Greek there, it's a little bit different. It makes it sound like I need to tell y'all about evangelism and challenge you to all go out and share the gospel with 5 people. That's probably not what Paul was actually getting at. In the NIV, we see this. It says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. But then in the King James, I think we get maybe the clear picture that Paul's trying to paint here. And he says, in your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the preparation to stand firm. Remember in Ephesians 6, Paul's not telling us to go find the enemy and chase them down. He's telling us to stand firm. And so that's kind of how we're going to look at that today. John Wesley, in his commentary on this, said, let this be always ready to direct and confirm you in every step. This part of the armor for the feet is needful, considering what a journey we have to go, what a race we have to run. Our feet must be shod that our footsteps slip not, to order our life and conversations aright. We are prepared by the gospel blessing, the peace and love of God ruling in our heart. By this only can we tread the rough ways, surmount our difficulties, and hold out to the end. So the gospel of peace, what is the gospel of peace? Well, the gospel we know is the good news of Jesus Christ, especially his death and his resurrection, giving us the only way to salvation. So then what is peace? I really don't think we need a definition of peace, do we? I think we can define peace by asking a question. Could anyone here today use a little more peace in their life? I think if you can't, you're probably not being honest with yourself. We could all use a little more peace in our life because peace is essential to our faith. Peace is essential to how we live. Peace is essential to our spiritual battle. In John 14, Jesus says these familiar words. If you've ever been to a Southern funeral or a Southern Methodist funeral, you've heard these words. Probably any Southern funeral. You get fussed at if you don't share these words from John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Have you ever heard that at a funeral before? If you've ever been to one I officiated, you have, because it's in every single one of them. But I think it's powerful that Christ gives us his peace. He says, the world's not going to give you peace. I give you my peace. I give you my Father's peace. I give you the peace that allows me in the garden to pray, take this cup from me, but your will be done. Could anybody use that kind of peace? That's the peace that allows our faith not to be shaken. That's the peace that allows Paul to sit in prison and say, I used to have all this. Now I've got Jesus. And then in verse 13 of chapter 4, the famous verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We use that verse to kind of pump ourselves up. Paul's saying that with nothing, in chains. He's saying, if this never gets any better, I'm okay with that because of Christ. That doesn't mean that it's the athlete's favorite scripture. It bothers me. And then there's a poster, I think, of people climbing a mountain. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. like he's going to help us get to the top of the mountain. What that verse is really saying, if you slip and fall off that mountain, you're okay because Christ is your strength. I got to edit that out. That's sermon two for today. You're welcome. Moving on. But the gospel of peace is our good news. It's the peace that Paul says surpasses all understanding. Have you ever been in a situation in your life and you knew it was okay? Even if it wasn't okay? Does that make sense? Even if it wasn't okay, the outcome wasn't okay, you knew you were okay. But you couldn't explain to anybody else how you knew you were okay. In January of 2015, I was getting ready to go to licensing school so that I could take the appointment at this church. In the week that I was supposed to go to licensing school, my father was dehydrated from the flu and had to go to the hospital. He walked in a state that was basically, he was in a diabetic coma walking around, his sugar was so high. He's not even a diabetic. Long story short, he spent 8 days unresponsive on a breathing ventilator. And I had to make a decision with those of us gathered there. Was I going to go to this conference? Was I going to go to this retreat? Or was I going to stay in case something happened? And I knew what he would want me to do. He would want me to go. But I also knew that if I didn't go, it was going to delay my ministry by a year, and I had already resigned from my job. I didn't know what else to do. And so I prayed. And the doctor said he might not make it till you get back. And I said, God, if you're going to take him, I'm okay with that. But if you'll let him stay long enough for me to get back and talk to him, I'd appreciate it. Our story's different than some of the other stories I know because he's fine now. And I don't believe that God gave us more grace than he does other people, because I prayed the same prayer for other situations and it didn't work out. But I knew whichever way that situation went, I was going to be okay. That didn't mean that the situation was okay. I just knew I was going to be okay. And I could not explain that to the people at my table that weekend, why I was there or how it was okay. I just knew this is what God said, it was okay. And so I'm going to trust him. We see this. We see Paul says, the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So that's what the peace of Christ does. It guards our heart, much like this breastplate. It guards our heart, but it says it also guards our mind. Do you realize whatever you think, whatever you let into your mind, eventually gets into your heart? Do you know that? You can't watch these certain things or listen to this certain stuff and let it get in your head and keep it out of your heart. It's eventually going to eat down into your heart. And so this is saying, no, the peace of Christ will guard both of them. And Paul gives us some ways that we can do that. So if you answered, yes, I could use more peace, and I've lost you through the silliness, come back and join me. I'm going to give you the blueprint to getting more peace in your life. The first thing Paul says to do is pray about everything. And I think sometimes when somebody tells us they're going to pray, we feel kind of offended. That's all they're going to do. But is there anything greater they could do for us? There's absolutely nothing greater that we could do than to take that petition to our Father and earnestly pray that request. Paul says to do it through supplication and thanksgiving. See, sometimes our problem is when we pray, we don't give God thanks for anything. We've all got something to give him thanks for. And sometimes we need to thank him for the answers we don't want. No is not an answer. Not right now is an answer. Sometimes because you love your kids or grandkids or nieces or nephews, you tell them no. And sometimes you tell them not right now. So we need to give thanks in our prayers. We need to pray earnestly and not just some, well, God, just be with that person. Be bold in your prayers. Pray prayers that will shake at your heart. And then give thanks to God. It says the second thing, Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure and pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. See, he's protecting our minds with the peace of Christ. Because if we think about the positive things, if we think even in the worst situations, I know Christ is with me because he gave his peace to me before he went to the cross. And we tell ourselves that, it will eventually become our reality. Because it is our reality. Because what the enemy wants to do is tell you that's not the case. He wants to say he's not there. There is no peace. You should be anxious. This situation is never going to get better. And our mind tells us the opposite. Our mind tells us Christ is with me. Christ gave me his peace. This is going to be okay. And then the final thing, Paul says, keep on doing the things you have learned. Keep on doing the things you have learned. Well, what have we learned? That's why it's so important to spend time in this book. That's why it's so important to sing these songs. That's why it's so important to be in fellowship and worship with each other. Because that's where we learn the ways of God and the redemptive narrative that is the Holy Scriptures. So Paul tells us pretty plainly, pray, think, and then act. And he says, and when you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. There are times and there are situations you're not going to feel like Christ is with you. But if you can remember to pray and give thanks anyway, if you can remember to think about the positive things, and then you can remember to do what you've learned, you will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. See, sometimes in our lives we go through situations, and I'm not immune to this, where something just eats at us and we worry and we worry and we worry, and then we end up making ourselves sick, we worry so much. And if we would just stop and say, God, I can't control this right now. I am afraid for the future, but I give you thanks for who you are and that you're with me. And then let's think back that all the times God's been faithful before. Then we keep living how we know we're called to live. The peace will come. But brothers and sisters, if I can just be honest with you, can I do that for a minute? You know I'm going to anyway, right? Sometimes we don't experience peace in situations and decisions that we're making because they're not of Christ. Sometimes there is no peace because our heart and our mind is guarded by Jesus and he doesn't want any part of the situation we're getting ourselves in. The decisions we're going to make, the way that we're going to treat somebody. Does that make sense? If it's not of Christ, you will not find peace in it. That's why if you are living in a way that is contradictory to the life of Jesus, there is no more miserable place to be than in church. Let me say that again. If you are not living your life according to the ways of Jesus, there is no more miserable place to be than in church. And let me tell you how I know, because I was there. I was living my life in a way that was contradictory to the love and grace of Christ, and I was fine Monday through Saturday. But I had to go to church on Sunday because if I didn't, people would know something was wrong with me. So I went to church anyway, and I was miserable. Why? Because I was hearing the truth, and then I had to look at myself in that light, and I had no peace about it. But if we will just get past that feeling and let the love and grace of God take over our lives, there'll be peace everywhere. So I hate they look like this, but are your feet covered with the gospel of peace? This week as I began preparing, I've decided that these are my favorite piece of the armor. And I hadn't even got to the sword yet. But I've decided they're my favorite piece because I played offensive line growing up. And if you know anything about football, your only goal is to dig in and protect. You just don't let people buy you. You dig in and you protect. And that's what these sandals would do for a soldier. They would dig those spikes in the ground. They could take that shield and they could hunker down and the enemy couldn't make them go anywhere. And that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for me, that the peace of Christ will allow us to be so firm in our faith that we're not moving. We're not retreating, that we will stand firm. So brothers and sisters, put on the preparation of the gospel of peace. Suit up. Stand firm. And be who you've been called to be in Christ. Let's pray.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com, or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.